Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee. With me today is your co-host, Jazz Dana, and another very special guest in Brisbane, who used to be in Melbourne, but you know, this person is very, very special. I think he actually beat our record in terms of the property portfolio size. Is that right, Jazz?
I think he's beaten all the records, mate. I don't know anyone who's got the that size of the portfolio. So we have got is Alex on the show today. G'day, Alex. How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
Alex, welcome to the show. And, you know, I think you've been a real estate agent and auctioneer and also now a property developer. Is that right?
That's true, yes.
Yeah, being through a lot of things. And just for our listeners, I guess if you can give us a bit of introduction about yourself and also tell us a little bit about something unique, something that people don't know about.
Okay, thank you for being with you. I started investing in properties 20 years ago, 1999. And I'm telling you something, well, probably I'm different than many others. I was fighting with my wife about 2 years because I wanted to become an investor 2 years' time before 1999, and my wife didn't want me to spend money in real estate. So now, can you imagine, I don't tell anyone to fight with their wife, with their spouse, but this is my story. So I was fighting with her for 2 years on and on, and I said, look, you stay in the kitchen, cook and clean the house, and I'm going to do business. Now, can you imagine a man telling his wife to stay in the house and don't interfere with my business? You can divorce or you can, you know, be successful. But I told my wife, I assure her, I said, look, I want to make money that you won't be able to spend. Please give me a chance. I went to first auction and she came with me to hold my hands down. And if you can see a lady staying next to her husband and hold her hands down, not to leave the hands up, and I just close my eyes to the auctioneer, close my eyes and like show him that I'm interested in the property. Yeah. And when the auctioneer said the property has been sold, and my wife was looking around to see who the buyer is, and auctioneer came to me to congratulate me. Now, when my wife saw that I was the successful bidder, she said, you are crazy, and that's it. You are crazy, and that's it, and nothing else. Now, this is the one story. But when I purchased first property in 1999, I went to the bank to borrow money. I didn't know what investment is. I didn't know what purchasing property is. I didn't know at all what business of real estate is. I went to the bank, and I said, look, dear lender, I need to borrow some money. I want to buy an investment property. And they asked me, how much money you have? I said, I don't have money. I got a job and I got my house with a loan on it, and I want to buy an investment property. And the lender said, sorry, we can't help you. You need to have a deposit. Just listen what I did to the manager. I said, you know what? You can't tell me I can't buy a property when I want to buy one. You can't tell me I can't borrow money. And this lender said to me, but you can't sell. I said, no, you can't tell me this. I'm going to borrow money. I'm going to buy a property. So I went from this lender to a different lender, and I asked him some question. How can I borrow some money to buy a property? And I don't have a deposit. I got a job, and I got a house with a loan on it. And I said, sorry, sir, we can't lend you money. I said, sir, you can't tell me I can't borrow money, I can't buy a property. I will buy with your help or without your help. I went to the third bank. Third bank, very kind. Said, Alex, we can't promise, but I'm going to call someone and give you an answer in 24 hours. 24 hours, give me an answer, and first property be purchased. Now, I purchased at auction. You know, purchased at auction, I paid $1,000 deposit, and I had to get a deposit very soon to pay to the agent. And I got money probably in 3 days, the deposit. Now, can you imagine, I start from one property, purchased at auction. I didn't know what auction is. I didn't know what investment is. But I had the courage to cross over the line. And I said to myself, I want to become an investor against my wife's will. Don't tell any lady. But I was buying against my wife's will and against the bank's managers who said, I can't buy it. And so from the property, I started and I moved on very fast.
Right. So Alex, that's right. Alex, so finally, did you get divorced or you are still married to the same wife?
That's the key crux of the question. You know,
everybody asked me the same question. Everybody. After this property, I purchased two more properties in the same year. So this was in July, and I purchased two more properties in October. And if you can imagine, I was an in-room option. Now, you people who are in Melbourne, you know that Ray White and LJ Hooker 20 years ago, they did in-room options. Now, I went there in October 20 years ago to do to bid for two properties in-room option. And I was the last bidder, two properties being sold, and my wife jumped on the chair. Just listen here, very interesting for those who want to become investors. My wife jumped on the chair and stopped the auctioneer to ask the auctioneer to stop the auction because I'm crazy and I don't have money. I just purchased one property in July and even I didn't have a deposit. How can I purchase two properties now? And my wife jumped on the chair to stop the auction. And the auctioneer asked me, hey, sir, are you buying the property or what? I said, I'm buying it. Bring me the document to sign. And my wife was just sweating. And I signed the documents and I said to the auctioneer, now, who's the property? And the auctioneer says, yours. And I said, he said, pay 10% deposit. I said, I don't have. And he said, how are you buying the property at the auction and you don't have a deposit? I said, sir, the property is mine. Don't worry about money. So I went to the bank again and I said, dear lender, I purchased the property at the auction. I need money. And he said, Alex, what have you done, Alex? I said, I don't care what I've done. I need money. So this lady, very kind, she done everything to purchase these two properties. Now, just remember, I was still with my wife. She still loved me. I don't know how much, but I still loved her.
That's great. And that's important.
when we put the tenants in these properties, we put the tenants in, and they pay the mortgage. The tenants cover the mortgage. It was very nice and easy. We didn't have to pay anything from our pocket to top up for the loan. And my wife said, wow, this is so easy to invest to buy properties for investment. The tenant is paying your mortgage back. I said, darling, this is what I wanted to do for a long time. You didn't allow me to. Now, what she did every Saturday, because I was a real estate agent, I had to do my own auctions and my own open for inspection Saturdays, she was going around to search for properties for me to see which is the best deal to buy it. And she called me from auctions and said, Alex, I found a property which I think is good for us. Would you come to the auction? I said, I'm not coming to the auction. You put a hand up and buy. So she became a very skilled investor, seeing that I was very stubborn and bought the properties without her permission. She became a very good investor, very professional investor. And I'm telling to the ladies now, darling ladies, if you don't know where the top quality shops are, call my wife and ask her. She will tell you where to go, in America to spend money, in Singapore, in Europe, everywhere. She knows how to spend money overseas. So she made so much money that she's not able to spend all. So we still have money in the bank.
Right. That's a very interesting. I couldn't stop laughing, Alex.
I had to help myself cracking all the time, too.
After 23 years of marriage, we are still together.
so on a serious note, Alex, for the listeners, so back in 1999, you were able to purchase properties without deposit, is what we are saying?
So zero. I didn't have to deposit because all my money went in my own house where I had a loan on. So every single dollar I had, I put in my house as a repayments. And if I had any extra cash, I put as an extra payment. So no deposit in the bank.
So these properties were cross collateralized against your principal place of residence. Is what you're saying?
At that moment, yes. At the moment, yes. At the beginning, I didn't have any other assets, so it was only my house and my job.
Right. Okay. So you knew kind of what you were doing. Sounds like.
I had no idea. I didn't know. The bank told me what to do, and the bank just showed me the way how to do it.
Right. Okay. Were mortgage brokers common back in those days, or that wasn't a concept known to you back then?
I was new in the industry in investing in properties. I was new. Even if the brokers were that time there, I didn't know about them. I knew the banks because I went to the bank to put money in or take money out. I know the bank's branches, but I didn't know about brokers. Later on, I find out I became more high-level investor and developer, and I find about the brokers, and I use brokers more than I use the banks.
Right. Okay. So tell us a little bit about. So obviously, you have already mentioned you had the principal place of residence, and then you bought two investment properties, and then from there on, sort of this journey got started. But 41 properties, it's a world record to me on our podcast, to be honest. How long it took?
Yeah, look, I had a good job, actually. When I came in Australia, I got my first job, and I was very successful in the job. The company used me as a training person to train their staff interstate and overseas. And I was very good enough to for the efficiency production. So they paid me a good income, good money. So the bank saw that I got good income coming every week in my account. And banks was very, keen to help me to buy more properties. And sometimes I was searching for 3 or 4 properties per year, sometimes for 5 properties per year. I was buying, and you must remember, I was buying in low price areas. I couldn't buy in very expensive areas. I decided not to. Because my philosophy was, if I'm buying in low market or low price area, I can buy 3 or 4 properties per year. If I'm buying in expensive areas, I can buy only one. And if you buy in a low price area, 3, 4, 5 properties, you can sell anytime one. You still got 3 or 4 properties left. But you have 4 renters, you have 4 growth. If the area is going well in prices, you have 4 growth. You have 4 renters. You're selling a property, you still have the other ones. You can sell 2 properties. You can still have the other ones. So I purchased in those kind of low price area where I knew is a lot of potential and the prices can go up. And you must understand, I was purchasing, after I learned the business of real estate, I learned the business of investing in properties, I purchased properties where I knew I can make 25% in 1 year in this house. I can make 45%. I can make 100%. And listen, I made over 100%. In 1 year, some of the properties. I said to myself at the beginning, I will make 100% in this property this year. Now, 2 properties I made 100%. Now, I was lying actually. 1 property I made 100%, and 1 property I made just over 100%. And all the other ones like 45%, 70%, 20%, 5%.
So 2 things. One, which areas back then were you buying the properties in?
Yeah, I purchased in Queensland. Queensland was my favorite place to invest. But when I started investing in Queensland, I had in Melbourne maybe 7 properties. When I started purchasing in Brisbane, in Queensland, Logan area. Logan was my favorite place to invest because the housing commission was selling their properties, the old properties, which required a lot of maintenance. And I love those properties. I love those properties because buying a low rundown property, you can increase the value in that, and you can increase the rent and return. And if you want to sell, you can, of course, you can make a lot of money in that through selling process. So, yeah, investing in Melbourne or in Victoria, Narrawarren, Dufton, Endeavour Hills, Dandenong, Noble Park, Frankston, those areas, and in Logan, in Queensland.
Right. And the other thing that you mentioned was when you bought some of these properties, you actually made you knew that you were going to make 100% gain in that year.
Now, 2 properties achieved the highest. One made 100%, one made just like 100.2%.
Right. So, but what was special about those properties? I mean, what did you saw that made you say that, you know what, this property is actually going to go up by 100%? Was it just the market cycle at the time that the properties within a year were doubling, which sounds crazy if you look in today's date? Or was it something else that was special about the property itself or the area?
I was looking the different areas where the market are moving, and I was looking to see where the buyers are moving to buy properties. Now, just being new, I was new in a process of buying properties. I'll start still at the beginning, maybe 2 or 3 years in buying properties. I was looking to see where the buyers are going, what the buyers are doing, where they're investing. I purchased the last property in Victoria, I think it was $270,000. And I've spoken to some people in Victoria because meet them at auctions and say, oh, Alex, I think Queensland is doing very well. So I came in Queensland, and just remember, one week I was staying in Queensland in Logan area. I was just driving from suburb to suburb, looking to see who's looking in a window at properties. And those times was windows with display homes in the agencies. I was staying there for maybe hours and hours, and people came to look in the windows. And people came and looking, and I asked them, where do you come from? I said, sir, where are you coming from? Are you from Lisbon or are you from Interstate? And a lot of them, hundreds of them, they said, we are coming from Victoria. We're coming from New South Wales. We're coming from Canada. And I said, if these people are coming and rushing like a gold rush, or now is the property rush from Victoria, from New South Wales, from all other states coming to Queensland, here is a place to buy. And I was looking in those low price areas, and they still want to buy 1 year, 2 years later, 3 years later, and they're still rushing to buy properties in Queensland. I'm sure I can sell my properties for double price in 1 year. Which purchased quite a few properties here, and it just happened what I'm saying. 100%, and one just got over 100%. And you know, sometimes you sell to get cash because you want to move on. What was my strategy? If I achieve a good price and I'm looking at the market and stopping or start moving down, I'm taking the highest profit and maybe use that cash I made on two or three deposits. I can build multiple units. So this was my strategy of moving fast in real estate.
Right. So the key point there is basically the properties that you are buying, you were looking at some kind of development potential down the line or straight away to be able to generate the equity. Is that fair?
That's very true.
41, I may sound like a broken record, but still 41 properties, you got to have that perseverance to continue for that long to build that portfolio, right? So did you, in building this 41 properties portfolio, were you just buying or did you also sell some on the way while you were still buying?
Funny. I was buying properties at the beginning and I kept them as long-term investment, except the ones which I knew they reached the top level. And the ones I achieved 100% profit, they were under body corporate. And when I say, okay, I got 100% profit, I'll sell them and use those money for a house and land, potential to build multiple units. And when I purchased at the beginning, I purchased anything came on the market, which I believe is a good property. But when I realized some properties, they require a big maintenance, which I have to spend time and money doing maintenance. And I calculated, I checked up those properties and I said, oh, this property have a good income in it, good profit in it. I can sell this house and I can buy something with land where I can build new properties. Those new properties don't require maintenance because I build them new. So, you know, maybe 10, 15 years, we don't require to have maintenance or anything, spend time and money. And this is what I did. I sold the old ones and move on with the new projects. And this is what I am. I transferred money from old buildings to building a new project.
So how many properties you bought before you actually looked at selling back some of them?
I never keep the track of them. Maybe I had 15, 17 properties until I start selling and see the sum of the properties. Actually, no, the two which I had 100% profit, I sold them after 1 year. Just over 1 year. I sold them and I took the cash out and I purchased houses with land or land where to build multiple units. But probably I had maybe 14, 15 properties until I start looking at maintenance expense and start selling those old ones and build new ones. Because, you know, in that time, there was a lot of houses selling by housing commission, by the government, and those houses would be old. It doesn't matter how much renovation you can do, they still require maintenance afterwards. So those kind of properties, I checked up the profit I have in and sold with profit and purchased houses with land or land where I built new units, new houses, where those ones you can keep them without any problem, no maintenance required. And the banks, you know, when you show the bank that you have money and you know what to do and you're successful, the bank is running after you to lend you money. And I had few banks, they always say, Alex, we can't lend you that much, we can't lend you that much. So I was working with about four banks. Of course, I think one bank, I was dealing with the bank, straight with the bank, the one who I started by properties in 1999, and all the other ones I worked through the broker. So right. Yeah, very, very, you show them you have a deposit, you have a good income, the bank will always help you.
So up until 15, 17 properties, I mean, or up until this point of actually 41 properties, you never had much issue with lending, is what you're saying? Banks have been pretty flexible?
Always I had a very good record of borrowing money. I never had issues borrowing money until now, until later, until maybe a couple of years ago. And the reason is because I was always worked as an employee, and have a proving of your income every week, every month. The bank look at that and say, yep, you got a good income. Every month is coming money in account. But when I start working as a self-employed, you know, working in my investment companies, I got my two companies under my investments and developments, and got income from there. But also I'm working as a contractor in real estate. When the bank saw that I'm a self-employed, they didn't lend me money. And I said, you know what? If you don't lend me money, I will never come back to you. I'm going to use my cash. And I use my cash all the time without your help. And maybe I can say probably about 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, I told the bank, if you don't lend me money, because I had a project. Now, you know Melbourne, you know Victoria. I had a project in Romana. Beautiful, yep. Beautiful project, multiple units. And I had the project, probably end project was probably $2.6 million. And I said to the bank, look, I've got the land, I've got money to build, but I need $300,000 extra to finish it. And the bank said, sell your one or two units and we'll give you the money. I said, no, I don't want to sell. I want to keep it. I got all the money, I got the land, I got the money to work on it, but I need $300,000 extra. And you can keep the property as a security. And the bank said, no, sell one or two units, we can lend you the money. I said, you have $2.6 million project in your hands. You don't give me $300,000. And I went to a few banks too, and I had much more higher income than when I was employed, much more high income. And the bank didn't lend me money. I said to the banks, you know what? I don't care about your money anymore. I'm going to work with my cash. I pay your loan out. I don't need your money anymore. See you later. And I was very upset. And yeah, now probably I've got 20% bank's money and I've got the rest my money.
That's really good. And at what point did you, Alex, decided to actually jump into the property development once you had built this portfolio of 41 properties? Or
yeah, look, I did this full part-time. This development, even now I'm doing as a part-time because I'm working in real estate, and you know, real estate can be busy business, and I'm doing auctions and all kind of things. But I purchased houses with land, and I said, this land have a good potential there to multiply, put multiple units on it. And, you know, I always fight with the council. And this probably I'm different than many other investors, especially new investors. I always challenge the council. And I challenge the banks, challenge the council. And if the listeners are listening, I just tell them one phrase. And just if you remember something from this meeting today, just remember one thing. Don't be afraid to challenge the council and tell the council, I want to build this project on my land. Or, dear council, do you want me to keep this ugly property on my land, or do you want me to make something beautiful? And challenge them, because you always have a good chance. Now, sometimes I have to cut something from me, but at the end, the council say, yep, yeah, we can agree with you if you make some changes in the project. And I always did what I wanted. And also, don't be afraid to negotiate with the bank. I always negotiate with the banks. I always ask them for free fees, for no account fees, for dropping the interest. Now, if they say that dropping, if you have a lot of money borrowed from the bank, they're reducing 0.7 or 0.8. I made 1.2% drop in the interest. It's all reduced, one each bank. I said, if you don't give me 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, I'm going to other bank who will give me. And don't be afraid. It's your money. The banks need you. If you don't put money in the bank, you can go to other bank, and the bank love you to be the client there. So don't be afraid to negotiate. It's your own money. You want to make profit. And I told every single bank, you make your profits, I need to make my profit as well. So if you have a land you want to build multiple units, challenge the council. Challenge the bank. It's your own business. Do something to make your own profit. So yeah, I always did what I wanted. If they wanted me to make some changes, I made some changes which we can agree with the council rather than go to Vicat, because Vicat can take you a lot of money and time. But yeah, we came to an agreement, and I always go above what the council said I can do on the land. Always go above.
So how many projects have you got running at the moment? Alex, or at your peak, how many property development projects did you had under the belt?
At the moment, right now, I've got 3 projects. One is nearly finished. One is under construction, and one is probably I will start on that. Maybe what is now May, and May probably in July, August, I will start doing it. It's a commercial medical clinic.
Right. Okay. So you're into the commercial space as well.
Yeah, probably this property only because I'm in residential. I know residential is much faster, you know, much easier to do. More, I'm easy to control it. You know.
Right.
I know this kind of business and easy for me to control.
Sure. And most of these projects are actually in Queensland, the development projects that you are running at the moment, or are they spread around?
I got one in Victoria, and I got one in Queensland, finishing now, and one will be building maybe August or so. We'll start building.
No, what's the project up in Queensland, just out of curiosity, Alex? Is that a townhouse, or is that a new
house? This is a big house, which probably about maybe $1.4 million will be somewhere there.
Right.
And the medical clinic will be probably again somewhere probably in $1.6, $1.7 million, maybe even $2 million when it's finished.
So it's a big house, not multiple houses.
Oh, no, it's a big house, yeah.
Is this in the Logan area or where is this made?
In Logan. I'm only focused on Logan area. I was looking in different areas to purchase, but I'm looking Logan area and just to say at the moment Logan. There are some suburbs, very, very good suburbs and good potential to grow. And I'm just want to focus in the area where I know it's a good potential.
So which part of the Logan are we talking?
I'm looking at Springwood, Daisy Hill, Sherlock Park in a good pockets because every single suburb have good pockets and not a good pockets. So I'm looking at a good pockets where I know that the price is always holding up. So Springwood, Daisy Hill, Sherlock Park.
For the listeners who are starting their journey in the property space or are halfway through building their portfolio, what are some of the most important tips for these listeners to help them build a substantial wealth base through property like you have done over the last 20 years?
My strategy is buy. If you think you don't have money to buy, I'm telling you something very important. Don't drink 7 coffees per day, drink only 5 coffees per day and put those money as a deposit. And also another thing, very important thing, when you're going to buy a property, don't be afraid to make an offer to the agent. Make an offer. Yeah, I know some buyers are running away from purchasing a property because they are scared or the agent is asking too high. Dear buyer, make an offer. Don't be afraid. Make an offer. This can give you a chance to buy or lose. But you know, how do you know if you have a chance to get that property if you're making an offer? So don't be afraid. Make an offer. And working in real estate myself, I know some buyers are afraid to make offers and missing a chance. Others are making offers and they buy a property.
Back in those days, the properties in some of the areas that you have mentioned starting 1999, I mean, I live in Barrick. I've been living here for the last 10 years, which is the southeast, close to where you have been buying a lot of these properties. Suburbs like these would have been far out, which is more like countryside, if I'm right to say that. Were you scared of that, you're buying this far out back then?
There always were potential there. Always. Now, if you live in Berwick, I always love Berwick. I always love Berwick. I was almost moving there to live myself in Berwick. Only the reason I didn't purchase in Berwick because I was focusing on the low price areas. But Berwick was one of my lovely place. I want to live there. So Berwick is a great place. But you know, every single suburb have good potentials. You just have to find that potential which you want to buy, that property which you want to look to buy. And don't be afraid. You just, you know, negotiate with the bank, negotiate with the agent, make an offer, cross the line. I want to say this to listeners, if the listeners are listening. I learned in my life, and especially beginning of my investment property, I was working in a factory as a production manager, traveling a lot overseas and interstate. If I'm staying here with this company always, I'll work by clock. I have clock in, clock out. And I'll make this good amount of money because I earn very good money. But if I want to cross the line, the other side where the rich people are, and they're making a lot of money through different forms of making money, I would have to try to cross the line there. Now, you can cross the line in one day, you can cross the line in 1 week, in 1 year, in 10 years, or maybe never. For me, when I started making a decision was 1 year to make the decision to cross the line. And I crossed the line and I never looked back. So, you know, you have your choice to cross the line or stay where you are now, but you stay forever there and you'll have what you have now. Cross the line, you have a good chance to grow.
I have to say it's very, very interesting in terms of how driven you are, Alex. And I'm always wondering, and I think you basically just disclosed and just answered my question there. I think the underlying reason why you're so driven in terms of being able to invest and you know, just continue to invest, because most people have doubts, but to me, you don't have doubts. You know it's going to work. And I was always wondered, what was the difference between your mindset and other people who's basically stopped and decided to just sit on the sideline and watch what happens? Was there anything that was burning? What was the burning desire within you at that point in time when you're initially starting out? What was the burning desire? Is it just to cross that line?
You know, I just wanted to have, I knew working in a company, in a factory for someone, I'll be there like them. I'll be on their own level.
Yep.
And I'm not against people working. You can work there, you can do something else, like investing in properties at the same time. But I didn't want to be there all the time. I want to be myself. I want to be me. So I said, you guys, you can stay there, but I want to make a decision to cross the other side of the line, and I want to do something different. So, yeah, I just crossed the line, and I'm where I am now. So everyone have the same opportunity, the same chance. Depends on the people if they're choosing to do that.
Yep. So you want to be able to have a different life, looking at those workers who might be about 20 years older than you, in the same job, in the same role, and not moving forward. And the other question I have in my mind, Alex, is what is your end game? I know you've already accumulated 42 properties, about 25 mil in terms of the current portfolio. But what is that? What is that final? What is the end game for you?
I'll give you a phrase. In 2013, I sold my business in Melbourne, very successful business, and I said, I'm going to retire. I don't need to work anymore. I'm going to enjoy life, traveling everywhere around the world, which I did for 1 year. And 1 year, you get bored. 1 year traveling everywhere, you get bored. And I came back in Melbourne. I said, I'm going to enjoy life now. I don't need to work anymore. I got plenty. I can help others, charities, and so on. And after 3 days, coming back from overseas, I was sweating. I said, what am I doing with my life? I'm ruining my life. I'm wasting my life. I have so much potential, and I just went back in the business. It's not about money. I'm not driven by money. Money comes. But it's my pleasure to see that I can help others through my skills, my strategies. And, you know, you go to so many seminars and people selling you books and this and that to try to make some money. I help people without charging $1. Because what I did myself, I'm helping others to do the same, and they can make some money. There's plenty of money there, so much money in real estate, so much money. Now, will you take some money or you let other people to take those money? But it's a lot of money in real estate, a lot of money.
Sitting free is not really your cup of tea. You always need to work. And money just comes by the nature of it.
Yeah, money comes. I don't work for money. I don't work for money. Money comes. I'm too young to retire. I don't think I can retire. I think I will be bored. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm going fishing every day. I'm going playing golf every day. I don't know. But it's not about money. I'm just working because I think it's still my duty to do something, not to waste my life for nothing. But also, I want to see other people succeeding. Now, you'll say, oh, Alex, but you're working as a real estate agent. Yes, it's true. And I'm making money in real estate. But I want to help those people who are helpless. I want to help those people, the seniors, our people who are in the war and protecting us from the enemies. I want to help those people to sell their properties for the best possible price, for the lowest possible commission. Because, you know, they need someone to look after them. And it's not about money, how much I'm making. It's about how much I can help them to put in their account, to move on with their life. So it's money comes, but it's not the money, the focus I'm in. And look, I've got a lot of properties, a lot of money. I feel like I don't have anything. I feel like I don't have money. I feel like I'm like an ordinary person. I'm not a person to be above others. Just it happens that I made that move and I made the step forward. And yeah, I make more money than others maybe, but it's not... I don't feel like I'm rich.
I think you'll feel rich when you're helping other people. The same way as how Jazz and I feel.
Yeah, very true. 100% true. It's my pleasure to see others succeeding.
Some wise words of wisdom over there, mate. You're doing some good stuff over there. And there's a reason you're successful. So that's really good. David, anything else that you want to cover?
No, I think that's a good coverage.
I just want to see people that they're doing, you know, good in life and make a lot of money and give money to wife to spend. You know,
it's always number one rule.
My philosophy is work, make money, and give money to ladies to spend them. Now, I give you a phrase. If we still have 30 seconds, I do auctions, and when I have auctions, I talk to the ladies. I say, ladies, send your men to buy properties, and this property is a money machine. The money machine has to be started. Press the button and start. So the men have to turn the wheel to print money. But when the money are printed, ask the men to give money to you, to the lady. You go shopping, buy shoes, handbags, holidays, anything you like. Because this, the men's rule is to make money to give to the ladies. So if you are men there listening, make a lot of money in real estate and give to your spouse, to your lady.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, fair enough. I don't want my wife to listen to this, that's all.
I'm telling you about my story, you know?
that's great.
Really, Alex, really, really interesting story, Alex. Thank you.
No, it's my pleasure.
Alex, it was great to have you on the show. We really enjoyed this conversation. You by far have beaten all the records. In fact, out of all the people that I know, 41 properties, 25 million portfolio. That's a handsome game that you have played while helping out others, which is a great cause. Keep doing great. And for our listeners, hope you guys are enjoying the content. If you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and let the word spread like a fire. Spark your fire. Thanks for that, Jazz and David. Bye.
Bye.